Welcome to Recovery Stories Yukon and Northern BC. This podcast aims to create a space for healing, understanding, and connection. Today's guest is David A. He was born in Whitehorse and is currently living in second stage living in BC. David is 45 years old and has been sober since August 26, 2024. Welcome, David.
Hi, thank you. Right on. So yeah, I was born in the Yukon. My early formative years were in the 80s, but those years were spent in Vancouver. My parents split up when I was very young after I was born, so I didn't spend a whole lot of time in Yukon. I actually haven't been back since, and I'm hoping that's one of my goals after coming through treatment. So yeah, anyway, I grew up here in Vancouver, Burnaby. My mom raised me. My sister came along a few years later. My grandparents played a big role. My grandfather was like that father figure that wasn't there. Yeah, I always felt I was kind of missing that father figure in my life. I didn't have that guidance and that focus. So my grandfather kind of filled that role a little bit, and he did a good job for the most part. He took me fishing and taught me how to work hard and just be my best me. He got me into sports as well. That was a big thing in my life growing up. Hockey and baseball were huge for me, especially baseball. That was pretty much my focus as I was growing up. All I cared about was baseball. I went to high school and the kids were smoking and doing, you know, whatever they were doing. And I wasn't easily swayed because I had that focus. In 1994, there was a baseball strike. I think I was putting a lot of my hope and joy in that one thing, that thing I couldn't control. Kind of set me off. I lost my focus and quit baseball and quickly fell in with the wrong group. I started smoking and smoking pot, and eventually I started drinking at age 14. When I found alcohol, it was kind of like the solution that I was missing. I could talk to girls, I could connect, I could be in groups, I could talk. I had courage. It was liquid courage. So of course I fell in love with it right away. Yeah, I went on drinking it pretty much every weekend. I was like a binge drinker. I did that for a few years, about 5 years, until age 19, and I started experimenting with drugs. I started taking cocaine because it was normal at that time in the late 90s to, you know, you go to nightclubs and you could drink more if you took cocaine. I fell in with an even worse crowd and eventually was led to opiates. After 3 months of using that, it really destroyed my life. It didn't take long at all. I was caught up in a legal issue involving picking up an amount of drugs. That issue really hurt me and my family. And for about 5 years, I was affected by that. I didn't really work on my sobriety that much during those 5 years. I was incarcerated. I didn't know the value of recovery yet. I didn't realize I had a problem because I was separated from those things. Yeah, I got out of prison. I immediately went back to drugs. I didn't know how to cope with the outside world. I used for another 3 months and a doctor put me on methadone. From there, I was on that painkiller for many years. And it really felt like I was still in prison. It took me a long time to kind of work my way down to a low dose. And finally, I was able to, after years and years, get to a low dose, but it really affected my well-being, my livelihood. I had pain in my body. I would chip away at that dose every month or so. But yeah, I just couldn't level out. It took me about 10 years of trying to get off of that stuff. I got to a low dose and there was hope on the horizon. And that's when I ended up relapsing. That's when I started looking for other means to kind of balance myself. I decided to see what was on the street, and there was a new drug called fentanyl, and overdosed right away. I wound up in the hospital for 3 days, completely out of it. When I came to, I didn't even know how I got there. I came back home and like a robot, I went right back to work. That incident took a lot from my family at the time. My partner really suffered, but I found AA. I was part of AA for roughly 6 months between my relapse. I was part of it. I got into the step group. I just kind of dabbled in it, I guess you could say. It didn't really stick at the time. And 6 months after that first relapse, I had a blowout for 6 weeks. This is last summer, about a year ago today. I don't remember that time, those 6 months at all. I was completely obliterated between alcohol and whatever else I could get my hands on to kind of dull the feelings and the pain that I had stored up year after year of not connecting with people and year after year of depression and working hard and feeling no reward. I was decimated in those 6 weeks. My family couldn't have me there anymore. I ended up homeless for a few days. I was overdosing multiple times throughout that 6 weeks. I'm really lucky to be alive. There's all kinds of deaths. Like, it's really bad here in Vancouver with the fentanyl epidemic now. I was actually just at a friend's funeral a few weeks ago. This young man, he was in his 40s as well, and he got sober. And his father got sober, and then his brother got sober. He took his cake, and then out of the blue, he just passed away. This addiction can come at any time. Some people kind of look at the 1 year cake as like a milestone, but it's an everyday thing. It's really something that we have to consistently battle and can never lose that guard. I built up a good guard in treatment. I somehow found a friend at an AA meeting when I was kicked out from my house. Wandering around aimlessly. I didn't know whether to walk into traffic or to overdose with the stuff that I had. This fellow that I met at AA, he had something. He had this light that I could see through the blur of addiction at that time. He took me under his wing. He brought me on a bus and took me directly to a house, a recovery house called Luke 15. And that house saved my life. It is a very spiritually based house. Miracles happened there. It was such a gift. I started my steps in that house, and I got to step four. When I started my step four, I started seeing the pattern of all the wreckage that I'd created over the years. I saw all the people who were affected by my selfish addiction, my need to kill pain, basically. People I cared about were harmed time after time, and I couldn't figure out how. Why did the worst happen to the people I care about the most? It didn't make sense to me, but it's through selfish living and there had to be another way. I got into my step four. That opened up some doors to trauma. I was detoxing off of the fentanyl and the alcohol and the poisons at the time, so I was quite sensitive. Also, I was able to get off the opioid replacement therapy. That was a big step, and I don't think I would have been able to do it if I didn't have the help of Luke 15 and the prayers there. But yeah, I felt like once those doors were open, I didn't have the resources to deal with the trauma that came up. I was at such a sensitive state that I needed something different. So I contacted my band, who was excellent with this, the Trondek Wechen band in the Yukon there. And they found a house, the best house for me, with TWC. It was called Solid Ground. And I spent 4 months there dealing with trauma and getting through my steps. And I'm so grateful for everybody there. Acquired all kinds of tools at Solid Ground. The counselor there got me into EMDR therapy. Using that, I was able to deal with a lot of the traumas that I was trying to numb with the drugs and alcohol. Yeah, I highly recommend it for anybody if it's available. It's really it almost creates that separation of those feelings in a way that they're still kind of there, but we can still progress and not have them hold us back. That was a big issue for me over the years. Yeah, we had regular programming. I got really connected. I started developing that real connection between people. Like, we find real brothers in recovery and sisters for the women. And that's what I was really lacking. When I was living in isolation, it was no life. I just, every year got worse. It felt like we're humans. We need to connect. We need to be part of our herd. But I think I wasn't properly shown how to do that. A lot of us do. As addicts, we feel on deep levels. We're quite sensitive. And if not shown how to process emotions and deal with these things, we go to other quick fixes like alcohol, drugs, and other poisons. So yeah, I was able to develop the tools for those things at Solid Ground through TWC, and that's just a great program. Anybody looking to get sober, you can get there. If you're struggling, there's so much joy there. I really found so much peace and happiness in recovery. I got through my steps. I made amends to my mother. Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. When I was at Solid Ground, I connected to a Zoom meeting called AWA Society because I can log on every single day. They have meetings every day at 6 in the morning. They call us the early risers. That's where I connect with my tribe, my people, my brothers. I can do it every single day. It's like having a meeting in my pocket, a home group in my pocket, because it truly is a home. And I'm so grateful for AWA Society. They're really shaping the person I am today. It's like I have, at any given time, 20 or so counselors that I can connect. We can all share our various points of view or what we've learned in recovery through different groups. It's amazing. Once you start the journey of recovery, things just start to flow. They work out. We're focused on self-care and we're taking care of, our well-being, getting enough sleep, eating healthy, getting enough fluids, exercise, all the things we need. God or the universe or whatever you choose to call that power, that source that loves us, works things together for the good. After the 4 months at Solid Ground, I'm transitioned over to second stage. Primary was first stage. Second stage is where we can ease back into community and start working again. I hadn't mentioned I spent the last 12 years working in a warehouse, but yeah, the type of work was very unfulfilling. I needed something different, so I have this door now that I'm going through with the LEAP program in second stage, and I can kind of work my way into the outreach field. I'll be working in a shelter soon for work experience. That's just another gift of recovery. I've been in second stage now for 5 months. I have 9 months sober. My home group is Lost and Found and AWA. The big book says that the better years are ahead, and they truly are because now I'm doing the sport I've always wanted to do. I'm living the life that I really didn't think I could have. It does get better. Like drastically better. With every day sober, I'm just that little bit better. I get to keep everything. It doesn't, there's so much and so many gifts of recovery, and I'm just so very grateful for everybody I've met along the way. This journey continues. I'm sober today and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, David. In the last 9 months, when your sobriety has been tested, what do you do to cope?
People are overdosing every day, and it got very close for me. So that constant reminder is there. But when depression and isolation and fear sets in, these things don't really matter. It's a strange thing with addiction because we seem to forget all the suffering that we've caused and that we've been through. Active alcoholism is torture. It really is. And using is torture. It's a terrible way to live. But we seem to forget that. We want to focus on that one good time. And that's what we think of when the pressures of life come up. Valuing my sobriety and being there for others. And I had no idea that Alcoholics Anonymous could be so fulfilling. So it works. It really works. Anyone can do it. Anyone can log on to Zoom, regardless of where you are. And there's always going to be somebody who cares about you genuinely and just wants to see you do good. I was absolutely broken. I was separated from my family. I couldn't work anymore. I had nothing. And I just hope and pray that people don't have to get to that point before they can start connecting, before they can find their group. Through this gift of this program, I'm not only better, I'm not only sober, but I'm thriving. Things are just amazing. I could never have imagined that things could get so good for me. And I hope that for everybody listening.
That's great, David. What would you say you are most grateful for in your sobriety?
The ability to process things, the past, the pain, the struggles. I wanted to thank Tron de Quechan Band. I'm so grateful to have this resource. There's many other ways we can get to treatment, but they were instrumental in helping me find the place I needed to be and get to where I'm at now.
Thank you so much for being here today, David, and sharing your story to help others. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Capri. I appreciate what you're doing, and I pray that whoever needs to hear this message will hear it and that it will help them as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please reach out to our website at storiesytbc.com for supports in your area. Or if you'd like to share your story on this podcast, please email storiesytbc@gmail.com.